For Pride Month, which was in June, one of our listeners, Chrissy, set up a fundraiser for Point Foundation, but she's planning to go ahead and leave it up for the rest of 2021. So please join in and donate if you can. The Point Foundation helps LGBTQ+ students achieve their goals of higher education with financial assistance, mentoring, leadership programming, and more. Your generosity helps Point provide scholarships and vital programs to a new generation of LGBTQ+ leaders. If you'd like to donate, go to our Instagram, Who's the Boss Podcast, and the link is in our bio. It's listed as Chrissy's Pride Foundation.
Betty, wait a minute. You don't understand. I'm not here by myself.
Oh, who'd you bring a date?
Not exactly.
What, your girlfriend?
Well, actually, I'm here with my...
Tony, I just spoke to Mother and she and the kids are doing fine. Your wife?
My wife?
Holy matrimony, Batman.
Batman?
Yeah, Angela, my wife. Yes, Angela, I want you to meet Betty Randall. This is Angela Maselli, my wife. Did I mention she's my wife?
Repeatedly.
Hey, honey, meet Tony's wife.
Oh, well, hi, nice to meet you. Well, how long have you two been married?
Oh, well, actually, we're newlyweds.
You wouldn't believe how newly.
Hello, welcome back to AO. Away. Who's the Boss Podcast? I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin. What's so funny?
I put too much space between the first AO and the second.
It depends.
Away.
It depends what the occasion is for Tony.
We are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss. Today we are going to cover season 5, episode 13. The title is Cardinal Sin. It first aired on Tuesday. Oh, does that mean next week's episode is going to be the Valentine's one? Sorry. Tuesday, February 7th, 1989. And the TV Guide summary says, while visiting St. Louis for an old-timers game, Tony hits a homer with a groupie, but strikes out with Angela. Wouldn't that mean he had sex with her, though?
It's a home run. Yeah, I mean, but I guess just that their meaning connects. Makes a good connection.
Yeah. I think they're just trying to go for the puns there, too.
Right, yeah.
And I have my glasses on, and it's late, and I thought it said, Tony hits a horner, and I...
Okay, I don't know what that is.
But I caught myself before I said it. Okay, read me your masterpiece.
It's not my masterpiece.
It's the reading that makes it a masterpiece.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'll take that, I guess. Tony attends a St. Louis Cardinals reunion weekend to play in a benefit old-timers match and catch up with former teammates. Angela came along to cheer him when vamp superfan Betty starts seducing the boys as she's used to. Tony pretends to be recently married to Angela, who grudgingly plays along. I don't know if she grudgingly plays along.
No, I think she's into it.
I mean,
first.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
The mates lure him to the bar where Betty gets him to hug and dance. Angela reacts very jealously when she sees Betty steal an adulterous kiss.
Oh.
An adulterous is in...
In quotes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Technically not adulterous,
I think, but that's why I wanted to point
right.
that out.
Yeah. I see. Okay, this episode was written by Gene Bronstein and Bob Perlow.
Oh, and to answer your question.
I had a question.
Will the next one be a Valentine's? Oh. I'll go no, because I know how well they do with yes. with Halloween.
And you're right, because
the next one's called Winter Break.
It's Tony and Samantha episode mostly.
Oh, I see.
So yes, it
and
is
it's called
not.
Winter Break, so
the
that means it's his probably college break or something.
Yeah, the following episode is First Date, and that is Tony and Angela, so that could have been a Valentine's episode, except the date's terrible. But we'll get there.
Oh, okay. I'm excited about that.
Okay, so we did everything. All right, when this episode opens, we get this
you
nice...
You didn't. I interrupted you when you started to... Didn't you... You were about to do the... who wrote it and everything. And
oh, I did say who wrote it. Gene Bronstein and Bob Perlow. I think the only thing I didn't say was that we've seen their names before.
Oh, okay. I thought you were still had something else to read. Okay. I thought you had to finish it.
Oh, yeah. No, we're
good. I derailed
us
once again.
That's fine. And every time I see Bob Perlow, I think of my OBGYN, who was Dr. Rebecca Perlow, and she was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when this episode opens, we see this nice B-roll shot of St. Louis and the arch specifically.
I know. It's like stock footage.
Yes. I mean, it looks like it was shot in 1974.
I know. It does.
And then we go to the inside of a hotel. It's like a hotel lobby kind of restaurant area where you can see there's some sort of conference going on and there's people signing in and mingling. And Angela and Tony show up there. And he's all excited and he says, Angela, this is so great. Look, I'm an old timer. And he looks up at this banner and it says, Welcome, St. Louis Cardinals, old timers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a reunion for the St. Louis Cardinals, I guess, from whenever he played. And then he realizes what the sign says, and he's like, I'm an old-timer. I'm going home.
And I don't think this is an uncommon thing either, like old-timers games.
Yeah, I feel like
they
that's...
do happen. And actually, on the All-Star weekend, they happen, where it'll be a bunch of old-timers, different baseball players all playing.
Gotcha.
Together. So it's not an uncommon thing.
Okay, I know nothing about baseball, but I know that this is a thing because I've seen A League of Their Own.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Isn't that what they're going to? All the ladies are going back for a baseball weekend, and then it tells the story.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
I think so.
Okay. Yes, and then it tells the story of
right,
how they got there.
Got
yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
So Angela says you're not going home because you invited... Now, Angela's going to let us know what's happening here. You invited me to St. Louis to see you play ball, and that's exactly what I intend to do. And he's like, oh, you're my biggest fan. So... At some point, he got invited to this, and then he asked Angela, hey, do you want to go with me?
Right.
To St. Louis.
Right.
For the weekend.
Right.
Just Angela, not the family.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just making
no,
notes.
No, I know. Trust right? me. Only because I know nothing happens
right.
just based on yeah. this show, but it has every you know,
yeah,
intention has every
yeah.
part of the recipe to be a good meal, but it just doesn't, you know, have every
burned.
Ingredient, but nothing
yeah.
happened.
Tony drops it on the kitchen
myself.
Floor.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if I liked a guy, I mean, if I
what
wasn't
happened?
Married, like back when before we were married, like hypothetically, if I liked a guy and he invited me on a weekend, I would be pretty jazzed. Like, I know they're really good friends at this point, but I would also think like, oh, so of all the people he wants to spend time with me, whom he also lives with.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should just get this ball rolling.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, because we have 3.5 seasons left to go.
All right. I got invited on a weekend with you. We were pretty newly...
Yes, you're right, yeah. But we were already dating.
Right.
But yes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah. But I...
Well,
yeah.
I went.
You did.
It was your mother's
I
wedding.
I invited him to my mother's wedding, and I told him, you don't have to go, because we had only been dating for about a month.
Right.
But you went.
I went.
And look, here we are.
Here we are.
You met my entire family.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty fun. Okay, so Angela says, I'm looking forward to catching your every hit, your every slide, your every... And then she spits and grabs herself.
Right. But then he says, hey, I don't spit.
Right.
So that tells you he grabs himself.
Yeah.
But we do know he spits, because when they went to go play that softball game, he spit in his hand
did.
And tried to shake.
Oh, yeah, that was disgusting.
So there you go. It's a lie.
Why do baseball players... I mean, I would imagine the grabbing themselves is like adjusting something that's going wrong.
The,
yeah, because of the
athletic
cup, right?
Cup, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that would make sense.
A lot going on down
I mean,
there.
Guys are mostly just gross
yeah.
as a whole, but I
yes.
guess there's a reason why that happens.
Yes.
Then he sees someone and he says, oh, look, it's Lou Brock. I have no idea who Lou Brock is.
Okay, well, I can tell you.
Okay, good. That's why you're here.
Lou Brock was a left fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Nice.
Actually, I don't know if he played his entire... You know, he played for the Cubs... from 61 to 64 in the Cards from 64 to 79, but he played the bulk of his career. He is, which is mentioned to be he was known for stealing bases.
Right, yeah.
That's so, what he tells Angela. Which is mentioned in the thing. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. He actually retired with the cards in 1979.
Oh, okay. So 1979. So I guess
he would have been, well, if he retired, he'd been like 40, maybe 38. So here he would have been 50.
Okay. I'm trying to think if Tony would have actually played with him.
Possibly, because...
Yeah. The whole thing, too, which we'll get into, is that the timeline for when Tony played baseball is very vague.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
So Angela doesn't know who Loop Rock is. And so he explains it to her, and then he's like, okay, come on over, I'll introduce you. Then he goes over, and, you know, they probably couldn't get Lou Brock to actually come on the show. So the joke is he's calling for Lou, and he's like, oh, pal, oh, mine, you know what Tony says.
Right.
And Lou just keeps walking.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, you know what they say, the eyes are the first thing to go.
Man.
I know.
That's not nice.
Yeah, it's just dissing on him.
I know.
So Angela says, you go check us in. I'm going to go call Mother, call the family, and let them know that we got here safe. So she leaves to go find a phone.
I know. It's funny.
I know. And he goes over to the table, and he, you know, checks in Angela Bauer and Tony Maselli. So they are getting separate rooms at this point. And then he makes, like, a look at the piece of paper like he can't read it, and he's holding it farther away because... the eyes are the first to go.
The eyes are the first to go. You know what? I didn't get that. I'm embarrassed for myself.
Well, it's kind of two things, because he's at the old-timer event, and the eyes are the first to go.
Well, he said that about Lou Brock.
Right,
and then he can't see the paper. Can't see.
Yeah. But Tony here is 38.
Yeah.
I feel like your eyes kind of start early 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but this joke there.
I know, it's still fine. So now, Angela is at a payphone. What is that?
What is a payphone? Yeah. Right.
We saw a payphone in downtown LA with the girls, and our daughter took a picture in front of it because she was
I think it was not even working, was it?
Or no, I don't think so. Yeah.
We weren't going to pick it up to find out.
It was just there. And then you noticed this. When Angela's dialing the number, the entire wall of the hotel is moving. The entire wall of the set is moving.
Yeah, for some reason, it's completely...
She's got some power in those fingers.
You're right. The wall's just moving. You can tell, obviously, it's a crappy breakaway wall that they put in. But it looks like a real payphone. So it's so heavy, it's making the wall move. It's not like a plastic phone. Anyway.
Yeah. Hopefully that didn't fall on anyone at some point.
I know.
Now they cut to an empty living room, and you just hear music blaring. So this is their house living room. And Jonathan comes down the stairs. He picks up the phone. And Angela's like, Jonathan, I can barely hear you. The music is so loud. Jonathan says, well, I mean, you know how she gets when you're away. And then he says, Grandma, turn the music down.
I actually should have seen that coming a mile away.
And then Grandma comes out from back where the den/office is.
Yeah, what's she doing back there?
Wait a minute. I've never noticed this. So now Mona walks over to the table to turn the stereo off. But in the background, there's some kind of table with a wheel on it.
Yeah, forget it. I mean, stuff just changes so much. I think they just shove things in places.
That is a very Angela table, though.
Yeah, it is.
And it looks like it folds out, so they probably use it for stuff. Okay, anyway. Mona says, I never have any fun. And Jonathan's like, Mom's on the phone. She's like, oh, good. So she gets on, and she's like, hey, Angela, how's it going? Samantha realizes that they're on the phone with her, so she runs over, and now they're all three are huddled around the phone receiver in the living room.
Right, because there's no other phones in the house.
No, I know. One of them could run to the kitchen, but this is a much better shot. So Angela says the flight was great, the hotel is gorgeous. Oh, and guess what? I saw baseball legend Lou Block.
Lou Block.
Yeah, she didn't get it right.
I know. What do you want?
And Mona says, well, maybe if you're really lucky, you'll run into Ricky Mantle.
Right.
Yes.
So she's making fun of her before Mickey Mantle.
Angela
wants... So obviously Mona knows who Lou Brock is. Now I'm saying Lou Block.
Yeah. Of course Mona knows.
Right.
I mean... Mona knows everything when it's appropriate. So Angela says, can I speak to Sam alone, please? So nobody moves, and Mona says, sure, dear. So they're all still huddled around the phone. And this is a really cute Sam and Angela moment, because Angela knows that Sam has finals and needs to study for them. Mm-hmm. And so she's all worried that she's not going to be able to do it because Mona's there. So she tells her, you know, if she keeps playing that loud music, you're not going to get your studying done. So you need to be firm. Remember, you're in charge.
Right. I like who's the parent here?
Right. So they told Sam, listen, Mona's staying with you, but you're in charge. Now, why doesn't Mona go to her own damn apartment and play her music there?
Maybe she doesn't have a nice stereo.
Oh, that's a good point. Although, we did see her hauling those enormous speakers from apartment into their house. So,
and I like you can see that little plate on the table that Angela was throwing or whatever seeds into.
That weird little hubcap plate is still there.
Still there.
So Sam says, all right, Mona, you heard what she said. Mona pulls a 20 out of her belt and says, here, go away. And Sam says, all right, well, I'll be at the library. And Jonathan says, Grandma, you're incorrigible. So she turns around and pulls another 10 out of the other side of her belt.
All right.
Doesn't give that to Jonathan, gives it to Samantha also and says, take him with you.
Take the boy.
This is the same lady that was borrowing money from her grandson last week, and now she's just pulling. All of a sudden,
she's got dollars.
Yeah, bills are flying out of the belt.
Well, you know, that's Angela's money.
Probably. That's what she was doing back there.
She was probably a safe
in the den or something.
Yeah, she was going through the drawers of the desk. Right. She found cash.
She found a bunch of extra cash. Okay, so now back at the hotel, Tony is hanging out with two of his friends from the team. And they're like, oh, you look great. You look great. You look great. And Tony's like, we're all full of it.
Yeah.
Meaning nobody looks great. But Tony still actually does look really good. Now, this is kind of a sad episode. And I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
All three of these men have passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I was shocked. There is a guy named Mike. Okay, so I believe that Mike is one of the two people he's standing with when we come into the scene.
Oh, okay.
So Mike and Davey are standing there, played by Matt Rowe and Lionel Mark Smith. So when I clicked on Matt Rowe, he died October 9th of 2003.
Wow. Long time ago.
Yeah. Then I clicked on Lionel and he died February 13th of 2008.
Wow.
Matt was 51, I believe, did it say?
Jeez, oh.
And Lionel was 62. Then Kevin Scannell comes out. So that's the guy who then joins them.
Right. Jay Moore looking guy.
Yes. He passed away March 25th of 2019 at the age of 67.
All right.
Yeah, so all three of those men have passed away. That was a real bummer. Like normally...
What about the bartender?
No, he's not listed. Oh. But let's... Fingers crossed. But we have a little good news later in the episode for someone who I assumed would be dead and is not.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so they're all like, oh, happy to see each other. And then they notice some... Okay, so they're all, they like have these little code words for each other and nicknames, and they're calling each other Butthead.
Right.
Then somebody says, uh-oh, here comes Boner, and everyone turns around and hides Boner? At the bar. Some guy that walks by.
I know, but...
What is it with 80s TV shows and characters Boner. Named Boner?
I don't know. Like Boner in Growing Pains. I know. Yeah.
Who has also passed away, unfortunately.
Yes.
But yeah, that's... So weird. Oh, I mean, was it not known for what it... I mean,
well,
I don't know.
No, it wasn't outdated... actually. And I knew that. I kind of knew that. So I'll give you the two definitions that... this is real definitions, not...
not Urban Dictionary discussing
that. Now, number one, vulgar slang, North American, an erection of the penis. Number two...
Just to clarify.
Yeah, well...
Which erection?
Number two, informal North American... A stupid mistake. And then it gives you a quote. Unfortunately, somebody pulled a major boner on this one.
Okay. And that makes sense as to why Boner from Growing Pains has that name, because he's kind of dumb.
I know, but back then, back in this show, I mean, I knew what a boner was.
Me too. Yeah. I mean,
I guess it was okay to use on television because it had two meanings.
Yeah, and it seems like it's a slang that's come and go. Like, I don't think you hear that really anymore, do you?
No.
No. You're an idiot.
I know, I just wanted to hear it. All right.
So then they notice that somebody else is coming by, and someone says, oh, look, it's your old bunk mate.
And another dead person.
I know. And then Tony's like, who's Stevie? And they're like, nope. And they look over, and it's a woman named Betty.
Yeah, Betty.
She calls him Batman. Okay, so this actress, this is also very sad. So this actress is Anita Morris. When this episode was shot, she was 45 going on 46, I believe.
Okay.
And Tony's, what, 38? So we're supposed to understand that she was a bit of an older woman when he knew her when he was younger already. She passed away in 1994, only 5 years after this, at the age of 50 from ovarian cancer.
Wow.
She fought ovarian cancer for 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, wow, that's crazy.
And she has a son, James Badge Dale, who is also an actor. When I clicked on him, he looks like her, and he does look familiar, but I'm not exactly sure what I would know him from.
Oh, yeah. She was married to actor and director Grover Dale,
mm-hmm.
and then her son is James Badge Dale. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so this is Betty. So Betty kind of saunters over. She says, hi, Batman, and she immediately goes in for a kiss. And Tony's all like, oh, you know, hi. And she says, I knew if I came to enough of these, eventually you would show up.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, so she's been looking for him for years. So he's like, oh, yeah, well, here I am. And she says, you look great. And he tells her that she looks great. Now, here's where the timeline is vague. So obviously he has a history with this woman.
Right.
Now, if Tony's wife...
All right, here we go.
Here we go. I know. Which they're never clear on. So, Tony got married, and then he went into the majors, and then either Marie died, and he continued to play baseball for a while, or he hurt his shoulder, and then Marie died. Which I don't remember in the pilot if Mona clarifies which came first, but I almost feel like she clarified the shoulder first, and then Marie dying, but we'll forget about that. Because...
because that means he is just cheating away.
Right. So that means he cheated on Marie. But what from what we know about Tony Maselli, let's go with the fact that he didn't cheat on Marie and that she passed away and he continued to play ball for a bit after that. And then he slept with whoever he wanted to, which included this woman, Betty, and whoever he meant, whatever the Russian twins were, whatever that he met.
Those were younger.
Yeah, so those were probably pre-Marie.
Right, that's a good
But there
point.
Was the guy from The Unnatural, that baseball episode where they're talking about some sort of twin debacle. I don't know.
Bulgarian twins, maybe. Who knows? Terrible.
So he asks Betty, you're still following the cards around? And she says, oh, yeah. Every time they score, I'm there. Yes. This woman's 45 and she's just following baseball players around trying to sleep with them.
Living her best life.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, who am I to judge? The guys are all asking, oh, you guys want to be alone? And they start to walk away. But Tony's like, no. You guys stay. And Betty's like, oh, you know, we should really catch up. And she's kind of nibbling on his ear and he's trying to get away from her. Then he says, oh, why don't we, you know, just talk? How's your mother? And she says, my mother's dead.
Yeah. Dead.
Yes. And then she starts rubbing her face.
I know. I don't understand what that is.
I don't know.
It's like she's a cat.
Yeah. It's like when a cat comes up and kind of headbutts you and then rubs her face.
That
means they like you.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what Betty's doing here.
All right. Sure.
And she's like, make me feel better. And then he's like, oh, okay, Betty. And he starts to give in a little bit. And then he's like, no, I'm actually not here by myself. And she's like, oh, you brought a date? Your girlfriend? And he's like, oh, I mean, not exactly my girlfriend. And then Angela comes up behind him and says, I just spoke to Mother and she and the kids are doing fine.
Mm.
So, I mean, now this sounds like she's his wife.
Yeah.
So Betty's like, oh, you brought your wife. And he's like, oh, my wife. And he's starting to put it back together. And even the guys are like, oh, holy matrimony, Batman. I guess Tony's name was Batman.
Yeah, I guess he was the Batman.
I see. Do you think that had to do with
baseball bat?
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Like, I would guess. The woman thing or the bat? Because we know Tony wasn't that good at baseball.
I don't know. Like, maybe he was the Batman. What else? Why else would he be Batman? Do you wear a mask? Batman mask or something?
He had wings. So then he's like, oh, wait. Yes, Angela, my wife. So then he introduces Angela to Betty and he says, this is my wife, Angela Maselli.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, kind of says the same thing to the guy. So then one of the guy's wife comes over. This lady's name is Pam. She is still alive. Her name is Jane Daly. She has an updated, beautiful picture on IMDb. And I believe she was still working as of, 2019, 2021 on a TV show called The Rookie.
Oh, The Rookie.
So she is still acting.
Oh, good for her.
So Pam's like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. Hi. Okay. And then they ask them, how long have you been together? And Tony's like, oh, we're newlyweds. They're like, oh, well, how new? And Angela's like, you wouldn't believe just how newlywed we are. So they're all excited for him. And then Betty's like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't know he was spoken for, but you've got yourself a great guy here. And then she says, but I guess I don't need to tell you that. And she walks off.
Oh, boy.
And then one of his friends. Now, who is this? I can't remember. I think.
Which one?
I think this might
Mike?
Be.
No.
What is his name here? Hang on. Sorry.
It's not Burl.
No, I think that is Burl.
Oh, is it?
Yes, I think Burl says, like, oh, you didn't do so bad yourself there.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't understand what that meant. Yeah, it is Burl. You're right.
Yeah, because I guess Betty says, you've got yourself a great man, and then Burl's assessing Angela.
Okay, all right, then that makes more
sense. And telling Tony.
That was something you would say if he said to Burl, hey, your wife's
Right, yeah, yeah.
Something, I don't know. And then he'd say, you didn't do too bad yourself, but I understand.
But is that really a compliment? You didn't do too bad yourself?
No, it's terrible, but it's a joke. I think it's being sarcastic.
So right then, the bellhop comes and he says, I have your rooms ready. And he uses the word rooms, so everyone is kind of like, what?
Wait,
what do you mean rooms? So Tony's like, oh, there must be some sort of a mistake because we ordered the suite. And then they go to work it out, and Angela says, if you'll excuse me, I'm just dying to be alone with my husband, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And they all do know what she means, and they start singing the Batman theme.
Right.
They're very excited that Tony's going to go upstairs and have the sex.
Yeah, maybe Tony's penis was the bat. I don't... Because it seems to come up with the sex jokes.
Right? See, that's the thing.
So
it seems to be like something associated with women.
I don't know.
Okay. Then you notice this. They do like a little Batman spin to the screen.
Right, to the
like
next scene.
Yes.
That's what they used to do when they would go in the old Batman episode. The logo, Batman logo, would spin like that, and then the next scene would come up. So yeah, I think that was a little paying homage to the Batman show, I guess.
Yes, I think so. So they get to the room.
Tony is the Batman.
And the bellhop lets them in. What is this? This?
Oh, this guy I looked up because...
Yeah.
Well, you could keep going because I looked him up for a reason.
This is the first thing he's ever done.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Jerry
Butellan or something? Yeah, I wasn't really sure.
I got Butent. B-U-T-E-Y-N.
Oh, yeah.
Butent.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
Sorry, Jerry Buten, if we're saying your name wrong.
So he brings their luggage in, and he's like, here you are, Mr. and Mrs. Maselli. Here's your suite. And Tony's like, oh, nothing's too good for me and my little woman.
Mm.
And then he gives the bellhop a tip. And as he's getting ready to leave, he says, you look a little bit like the ex-prez, meaning Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And then this guy does like a short Ronald Reagan impersonation.
Right. That's why I looked him up, because I didn't know if maybe he...
Yeah.
Did imitations or something.
I know,
you know
it's
what I mean?
Very bizarre.
Anytime you ever see somebody do an imitation on a show, usually that's their thing. But
right.
Maybe the guy's just always been told he looks like Ronald Reagan, so he started
so he
doing
does.
That.
Yes.
I don't know.
And we know that Tony was a Ronald Reagan supporter. Like, he's a big Republican, so maybe, or at least he was then, I don't know really what he is now, but I think maybe he noticed that he looked like Ronald Reagan or something, and then they just decided to work it into the show, because it's really, like, out there.
It is.
And especially since this is this kid's first role ever, so it's not like he was known for this impression.
No, I know, that's why I looked it up, but I bet you Tony gave him a hard time, you know what I mean? Not a hard time, yeah, but, like, teased him and had fun with him, though. Off camera, so probably brought it on.
Yeah. Know? I mean, it's cute, and the kid is cute, and he does look pretty decent.
Looks like a young Ronald
He does
Reagan.
Look like a young Ronald Reagan. Okay. So Angela, once he's gone, and Tony shuts the door, Angela says, Tony, open communication is very important in a marriage, so what the hell is going on? Angela asks, A, who is Betty? And B, why did you tell her that we are married? And he's like, oh, you know, she's just some girl. And B, it just kind of came out in the heat of the moment. And he's like, oh, well, not that there was much of a moment.
There was
and
any
wasn't
heat.
Any heat.
wasn't
and
much she's of like, a well, moment. So funny.
She's like, what is going on between the two of you? And he says, nothing. You know, I just can't help it if she's attracted to me. Some women are.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Maybe he's just trying to let Angela know that some women are attracted to him.
All right.
And he says, and I can't help it if she won't take no for an answer. And then Angela says, oh, did the sexy woman scare you? And he's like, repeatedly. But he's like, I know it sounds crazy, but I told her that we're married, and now she backed off, and I didn't have to hurt her feelings. So I think that's the real issue here, is Tony probably just didn't want to be like, I'm not interested. Because it's hard to explain, like, here, I'm here with my friend.
I know.
But eventually I want to sleep with my friend. So I'm not really sleeping with anyone else right now. That's a much longer conversation. Or just saying, like, I'm not really interested is going to make her feel bad about herself. So instead, he's created this complete ridiculous scenario.
I know. Very Tony.
And she's like, oh, okay, well, is this a humanitarian effort? And then she's making fun of him, calling him the caped crusader playing on the Batman thing. And she's angry. And Tony's like, you're being sarcastic and it's not pretty. And Angela doesn't care because she just is like annoyed with him at this point and already regretting this weekend. Mm. The other thing too is I wonder if Angela, like if she maybe have had kind of higher hopes as to how the weekend was going and like already things aren't going well. So she's going to react to that very quickly.
That's true.
But he reminds her, listen, I didn't do this just for me. I did it for us because I don't want anything to ruin our weekend together. And so he says, come on, it won't, you know, just play my wife. And she's like, I suppose it wouldn't kill me. So then he says, Angela Bauer, will you marry me? She says, I do. And he says, oh, great. So now he's excited. He's like, my wife's going to be out there watching me play baseball. Then he plops himself down on the couch and he says, hey, honey, will you bring me a beer? And she just throws a pillow at his face.
Yeah. Did he deserve that?
He did, yes. They didn't discuss what the sleeping arrangements were going to be, but I'm assuming that Tony's going to end up on that couch if he were to actually end up in
where
the room.
He's just where he sat.
Yes. So then he picks up the little sheet that tells you what's on TV that night.
Which is fantastic.
It sits on top of the television, yes. And he notices that The Way We Were is playing later that night. She's like, oh, I love that movie. And Angela says that she didn't realize that he liked that movie. So he's joking, like, oh, there's so many things that we need to learn about each other now that we're married.
Oh, boy.
So I looked up that movie because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it either.
It's a 1970. I know Barbara Streisand is in it.
Right.
It's a 1973 film starring Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand. So I don't really know exactly what it's about, but it seems like it's a drama and some sort of love story.
Oh, okay. All right. I have something to point out a little bit later on then.
Oh, okay. Tony's idea is that they're going to order room service. They're going to settle in and they're going to spend a nice quiet evening together watching The Way We Were. And Angela says, I can't think of a better way to spend the night.
Okay, so time out. It's just setting it up for a one-way ticket to Pound Town.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, like if things had gone that way, you're in a hotel room together.
Right.
You're going to have some dinner, have a little wine, watch a romantic movie. I'm guessing it's romantic. I mean, I'm sure there are elements
sure it
of
is.
Romance.
The Way We Were, I'm sure.
Then you're going to change in your pajamas and go to bed in the same room.
Yeah,
so he's making it clear that he wants to spend or he's planning to spend time with her here. Plus, this is a weekend where he's supposed to be catching up with all of his buddies. Like, he could be hanging out with Angela anytime. You would think that...
He should have gone in by himself. Right. He would have had a good time getting drunk with his buddies. He would have slept with Betty. It would have been a heck of a weekend.
But see, we haven't actually seen Tony with a woman in a long time. So true. I think we're supposed to get the impression here that Tony is really no longer dating women actively sleeping with anyone.
Actively looking around.
Right. Like, you would think, though, that Angela would have just gone down with him for dinner and hung out with his friends and gotten to know everyone because she's there for that weekend. But it doesn't matter because it's a sitcom and none of this is real.
Right,
and it's going to go way downhill anyway.
Right.
So she says, I can't imagine a better way to spend an evening. And then Tony says, well, I can, but we're just pretending.
See? I mean, he's already...
Yes. And then they kind of take
insinuating.
Yeah, he takes a seat away from her on the couch, puts a little space between them, and then adjusts his socks. I don't know. He got so hot and bothered, his socks started to roll down his ankles. Oh,
it's very, you know, yeah, that's a very Tony thing to do. No. Hey, the socks are up, need to be adjusted.
So someone knocks on the door, and they're yelling through the door that it's the manager. And they're in the honeymoon suite, and they haven't heard any noises yet.
Yeah.
But really, it's just his idiot friends.
Yes.
When he opens the door, they barrel into him and almost knock poor little tiny Judith Light over.
I know.
Like, I know it was bunch probably for dramatic idiots. Effect, but it really does look like she had to back up a bit there. They ask Angela, can we borrow the Batman here for a quick drink? And he's like, can I? And then she says, well, what about dinner? And the guys are like, oh, well, I'll get something downstairs. Mm. But then the two of them start calling each other Snookum. And he's like, oh, you know, I'll eat when I get back. And she says, oh, all right. So they go running out the door and she shuts it. And then she says, this is like my first honeymoon night.
I know.
What did Michael do?
Probably something stupid like this.
He went back down to the bar after the wedding and got drunk with a bunch of his friends.
That's probably what happened.
Aw, and poor Angela was probably a virgin, too. God. Actually, I have no idea. Okay, so downstairs, Tony's hanging out with his buddies, and Betty shows up again. Yeah,
of course. Betty's hanging around looking to score.
Yeah, looking to score in her red skin-tight dress with like some little odd cape over the back.
Yeah.
But the other thing here is like, okay, I don't want to be mean, but I don't really feel like Betty is really Tony's type to begin with. Like I get...
Yeah. I guess it doesn't
matter. We don't know how old he was. So I'm thinking that he might have been like maybe early 20s or something. And then this woman was like late 20s.
Maybe.
But it just seems like this is an odd pairing for him to be like so over the top, like can't control himself around her.
Right.
Because it doesn't really seem like the type of woman you would normally go after.
Yeah, so, but it's a sure thing, I guess.
I guess so. And maybe it's just that history that they have because he was much younger when he was with her the first time.
Right.
So, I don't know. So the guy leans over and he's like, I bet you're wishing you left the little woman at home, huh? Basically saying, I bet you wish you left your wife at home so you could be cheating on her right now.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he's saying.
And Tony even says, what little woman? And then he remembers, oh, Angela.
Right, I'm married.
They cut to upstairs where Angela is watching. She turns the TV on and The Way We Were is starting.
She's blasting.
Yeah, and she sits down all sad and starts watching it.
Yep.
And then back downstairs, a song starts playing. It's On Broadway is the name of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And Davey asks Betty if she'd like to dance. And she says, sorry, I only dance to this tune with one guy and he's married. So she goes out there and starts dancing on her own. So they're trying to get him to dance with her. And he's like, oh, I hung up my dancing shoes a long time ago. But they push him out onto the dance floor. And Betty's like, well, don't make him dance with me if he doesn't want to. But they're still like teasing him and stuff. So he goes over and at first he's not really putting a lot into it. He's just kind of swaying back and forth with her. This whole part is very cringy.
I know, it is.
Then she's like all rubbing up against him. And so at some point he can't take it anymore and he really starts dancing with her. Then they start kissing.
Yes.
So like, are we supposed to think that like Tony's just so horny from not being with anyone for a while that now he just can't resist this woman?
I guess so.
After putting on, that's what...
Well, she was doing all the right things.
You mean like with all the dancing
and,
right,
and then she rubbed her ass against his, which I guess is something. Some kind of mating. He enjoyed it. It's just whatever it is, he enjoyed it.
This episode has really cute parts that I enjoy, but this whole part just doesn't make sense to me.
No,
and Angela's going to say exactly why it doesn't make sense. So then he ends up kissing her, and his leg goes up as if like... I guess it's almost like he's supposed to be like a woman, right?
I don't know.
The little leg goes up, and I don't know why exactly, but I guess it's like a pose that you would see a woman doing more in a kiss. And Angela comes into the dance, onto the dance floor right as that happens. And then when they break apart, he sees her standing there staring at him. And he's like, oh, hi, honey. And he asks, is dinner ready?
Yeah, I know. It's funny.
So,
and it's just, but it's still, it's so awkward that he would even like kiss her in front. All these people are standing and they're just staring.
Right.
Like,
he
would be aware of what, yeah.
I know. He hasn't even had that much to drink. Not that that's an excuse. Like, I don't know. It's just all kind of awkward and weird. But now, as far as the rest of these people know, he's just cheated on his wife and been caught.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like glossed over, like, oh, she should forgive him tomorrow. And plus, they're supposed to be newly married.
Right.
So, like, we're witnessing some serious cracks in a marriage, but everyone's just kind of like, oh, no, yeah, you guys will fine. Yeah. Boys will be boys. Angela goes upstairs. She runs into the room that they're sharing, slams the door, and the phone's ringing as she runs in. So she answers it, and it's Mona. And Mona asks, is this Mr. and Mrs. Maselli's room? And Angela wants to hear none of this right now. But Mona's like, imagine your own mother has to find out you're married from a hotel clerk.
That's funny.
Yeah. And Angela's like, I cannot talk right now. I'm kind of in the middle of something. And Mona's like, all right. She's thinking this weekend, the weekend has gone as much as Angela hoped. Like, these are Mona's dreams
right
here.
Exactly.
Like,
she's been pushing for this forever.
But Angela's like, it's not what you think. And then Mona's like, ooh, that means it's even better. Right. Like thinking if it's, because I'm probably going to think that you're really not doing anything. So if it's not that, then I'm very excited. Tony starts knocking on the door right now to get her to let him in. And Angela yells, the marriage is over. And then Mona, this is my favorite line. Mona says, keep the house, but give him the boy.
Oh my gosh. But give him the boy.
Yeah, it makes me laugh.
Like, she's already got it all figured out. He's kicked out.
Right.
And he's taking the boy.
But he's taking Jonathan with him. Angela's like, Mother, I'm going to have to call you back. So outside, okay, so now we see a shot of Tony in the hallway of the hotel.
Right.
And he's like, Angela, please let me in. He's like, let's not blow this out of proportion. And an older couple is walking by, going to their room, and they're hearing all of this. And then Angela comes out and she says exactly what we're all thinking. And she's like, "Why? How could you humiliate me like this? All those guys think I'm your bride." So he and, Miles is very upset over this. But it's like, he invited her to this weekend.
Right.
Then he ropes her in to getting her to pretend she's married to him to avoid this woman.
Correct.
And then he just makes out with this woman in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And makes an asshole out of her. And there's her weekend.
Bunch of bad moves.
Right. She's like, they all think we're married. And there you were, tongue wrestling with Betty Boop. And she runs back inside and slams the door. So he comes in and he's like, come on. It was just one little kiss. And he's like, lighten up. It's not like we're really married. And she says, we shook on it.
No.
So she goes over to the closet. She starts taking all of her clothes out because she wants to go home now. And he's apologizing for hurting her feelings. And I again think, Angela probably had kind of some high hopes about how this weekend was going to go. Because, like, if they had a really good time this whole weekend and spent some quality time together, it's just kind of leading them in that direction as to why aren't we dating?
Right.
We just went on a weekend trip and had a great time together. Well, Angela, here's why.
It's
you're
all
not
out
dating.
The window.
Because Tony's a complete idiot. And she's like, why were you going on and on about wanting to spend the evening with me when you really did want to spend the evening with her? But he is saying, like, oh, I really didn't want to be with her. I don't mind being with you. Which is not at all what she wants to hear.
No.
But he's trying to convince her, like, no, no, I really do want to be with you. I just got carried away.
Carried away?
I know. Tony's so horny he can't control himself. So he just momentarily got carried away by someone who actually wanted to kiss him, I guess. Which is why this is so stupid.
I know.
So he kind of, like, you know, talks her into it. She's starting to feel like she's just being dumb for even falling for this. But she's like, okay, yes, I get it.
Yep.
And Tony sits
boys
down.
Boys will be boys.
Right, exactly. And he's like, you know, I don't know. I was just having a couple of drinks with the guys. And then she wanted to dance. You know, and she's a pretty good dancer. And then Angela's like, yeah, I guess it doesn't hurt that she's got a great body. And he's like, oh, yeah, she's got an outrageous body.
Yeah.
So now he starts
talking. This is where we lose Tony.
I know. Now he starts talking to her as if he was talking to some of the guys again. He's treating Angela too much like the friend. And he's going on about how she has an irresistible body and she used to push buttons that he hardly knew he had.
Push buttons in me. Oh, God. It's getting a little ridiculous. I know.
And so now Angela's going from being understanding and listening to his apology to pulling his clothes out of the closet and throwing them out. And Tony's finishing up his little monologue here with that she put the tempt in temptation. We're talking total sensual primal gratification.
Wow.
Yeah. So now Angela opens up the front door with all of his clothes in her hand and chucks them out into the hallway. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? And she says, go ahead. Go be a primate. And kicks him. And he's like, oh, my clothes are all over the floor. And he starts to pick them up. So now they're in the hallway arguing. And Angela's like, listen, if you want to go be with Betty, go be with Betty. I'm not your keeper. I'm not your wife. And the couple is back. So the older couple,
milling around the hallway.
They are now coming out of their room and continuing to hear this conversation. And she says, and I'm not going to your stupid game tomorrow.
That's that.
Yep. She goes back in and then she shuts the door and slams it in his face. And the couple just kind of look at him and walk away. So now downstairs, Tony's walking around with all of his clothes in his arms.
All pathetic.
I know. And she didn't throw his toiletries bag out, so I hope he's going to find a place to find a toothbrush. And of course, Betty is still sitting at the bar. Hasn't moved. Everybody else has gone home. And she says, hey, stranger, what are you doing down here? And he's like, he says, I'm taking my clothes for a walk. And she's like, oh, I got you in trouble with the wifey. Again, not at all feeling that much remorse for possibly breaking up, which they think is an actual marriage.
I know. But yeah, maybe back then you know, second chance or something, or whatever.
And Tony's like, she's not my wifey. And then she's like, wow, I really did get you in trouble. Sit down. She's like, let's talk. And then she's like, you know, you and I go back a long time, and the last thing I wanted to do was mess up your marriage. But he's like, listen, we are not married. He's trying to get across the fact that he and Angela actually aren't married and that he lied. But she's not getting it. And she's like, Angela's a good kid, maybe a little high-strung, kind of a dull dresser. This might be Mona's long-lost sister.
I know. Even got red hair and
yeah,
everything.
The red hair, the body, and just beating down Angela anytime she can. So Tony's like, okay, listen, can we just stop talking about Angela right now? And Betty's like, sure, you know. So then Betty tries to just change the subject to baseball because she must actually be a pretty big baseball fan. I don't know. She's talking about things I don't understand. People who batted 307,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
The Cubs and, yeah.
And then Tony goes immediately into, she's not coming to my game tomorrow. So he's the one that's now talking about Angela. And she says, you know, some women just aren't that much into baseball. And then he says, she's not letting me in the room tonight either. And she says, well, some women just aren't that into sleep, at least not right away. And then she kind of leads him out of the room. So it's left, when this scene ends, you don't really know what happened here. And he's all still sad. He's like, this weekend was supposed to be fun. She said she couldn't wait to see me on the field. And then she tossed me out and called me a primate. Listen, Tony, I don't want to hear any of this you feeling sorry for yourself, because you completely jacked this whole weekend up on your own. You have no one to blame but yourself for any of this. And then, of course, the married couple walks by again.
Right, every time. Right. Tony's airing his dirty laundry. Yeah.
And she says, "That must be Betty," and points to the woman. Mm. So now this older couple, I thought, oh, they're probably not going to be alive anymore. And the man actually isn't listed, because I guess since he technically never said a line, he was considered an extra and not an actor. But the woman, because she did say a line, is credited. And her name is Gwen Van Damme. And as far as I can tell on IMDb, she is still alive.
Oh, okay.
So she outlived all of those actors playing the Cardinals old-timers.
Wow.
Yes. Okay, so then they kind of fade to black, and we don't know what happens. So Angela's back upstairs, and she's talking, oh, yes, and here's this fabulous conversation. So she's talking to Mona on the phone.
Is this funny?
And she says, this weekend was a mistake, and Mona's like, what happened? And Angela says, I kicked Tony out of the room because he kissed an old baseball friend. And Mona says, so he's experimenting. Okay, one, I love how open-minded Mona is.
I know.
Two, like, she's just hearing the... in her mind, she's thinking Tony kissed a guy, and it's not even stopping her in her tracks. Didn't even slow her down. She's like, oh, it's fine. And then Angela's like, no, Mother, not that kind of old friend. A sexy redhead old friend. Yeah, and Mona likes the sound of that. So yeah. She's like, oh, you can't blame him for that, can you? So now here, Mona's basically going to tell Angela, Tony's going to go get sex somewhere else because you're not having sex with him. She says...
Yeah, that's essentially what she says.
I know. She says, a man has needs and he cannot live by bread alone. And since you're not sharing your loaf, he has to go to another bakery.
So ridiculous.
I know. Has to go to another bake shop. So basically, because you guys are just friends and you're not sleeping together. But I mean, okay, so yes. So they are just friends. They're not in a relationship. It would make sense that Tony would be out there dating other people. But they've kind of got themselves into this like weird pseudo friendship / dating / married without sex limbo that they're in. That it does seem kind of odd that no one is dating. Okay, yeah. So Angela says, thank you, Mother, for that colorful and disgusting metaphor. I'll see you tomorrow. She says, I'm not going to the ball game. I'm getting on the first flight after the free breakfast.
After the free breakfast.
I know. Of course Angela wants to get in. Well, although she doesn't eat breakfast, but I don't know. She's so angry tomorrow morning, she's going
to
be hungry.
She's going to want the breakfast.
But Mona tries to talk her out of it, and she says, listen, you and Tony are best friends. And you do not miss the important days of your best friend's life. And Angela just kind of ponders that and says goodbye to her mother.
Yeah,
and
hangs up the phone.
Then she goes back over to the TV, turns on The Way We Were is still playing.
I know, the song was actually going.
And she looks all, this must be a very long song, a very long movie. And she looks all sad and sits down. The next morning, we're back in that little restaurant area for the free breakfast. And Tony's kind of looking around, looking to see if Angela's going to walk in. And Pam notices one of the guy's wives. And she's like, oh, you know, maybe she'll be here. And he's like, oh, I'm not looking for her. I was just looking to see if they were going to bring out any more sausage.
Sausage.
And then one of the guys at the table asks Tony to throw him a sweet roll. And he's holding up his mitt like he's going to catch it. Oh, yeah, I should mention that they're all dressed now in their Cardinal uniforms.
That's
so this
right.
is the day of the game. I guess they're all carbo-loading before they get out there and play. And Tony says, any more food and you're going to bust the snaps on your uniform. And then the guy gets up and pushes his stomach out so that the snaps do bust on his uniform. And then Tony throws him a sweet roll. It's all disgusting. It's all just a bunch
thinking,
of...
Why did that have to happen?
Just a bunch of stupid meathead guys sitting around. Okay, so Angela does walk in, and she says good morning, and Tony says good morning, and they look a little nervous around each other. And then Betty, who's sitting at the table with the guys, offers Angela a pastry. And Angela says, no, Betty, I don't want any of your baked goods. going back to the conversation with Mona the night before. Yes.
Like giving up her loaf or whatever.
So Angela asks to talk to Tony, and she's like, you know, I want to tell you something. And he's like, no, no, I want to tell you something first. But Angela stops him, and she's like, listen, I just, you know, you don't owe me an explanation. We are not actually married. She's like, but I came here to see my best friend play ball. And so I'm going to watch my best friend play ball. So then he's all excited, and he's like, oh, that's so great. And then at the table, they notice that these two are getting along now. So they say, oh, look, the newlyweds are making up.
Oh, like look. Everybody's forgotten about right? the adulterous ways.
No. Oh, look, this fragile marriage that just started is all better now after he kissed somebody else. Like, they don't know that these two aren't really married.
Right. They have no idea.
But they say, you know, it doesn't count. It's not an official makeup unless you guys kiss. So they all start to kind of like egg them on to kiss. So they do like a little peck on the lips, and they look all embarrassed and uncomfortable. And I can't remember what, I think this is Burl. He says, yeah, it is Burl. He says, I'm so glad that's over because I do not want that man bunking on my couch one more night. And then
my couch one more night.
Betty says, at least you got to sleep in the same room with him.
Right.
So now Angela knows that even with all that temptation, in the end, Tony didn't go through with it.
Yeah.
He did not have the sex.
Which is what I think he was trying to tell her when she first came out, but she wasn't listening.
Right. So then Angela turns around and then gives him a real kiss. And then Tony's little leg goes up in the air. Just like it did with Betty again.
Right.
So now this is, we haven't had a kiss between the two of them since that one in the car that's just like random.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I do, this is kind of where their kisses sort of take a turning point. And I think from here on out, there might be some exceptions once they actually start dating. But the kisses are kind of played more for comedy than for like actual romance, I guess.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like right, here, exactly. It's like it's silly the way she grabs him and kisses him and his little leg goes up in the air and stuff. It's done more for comedy. And I feel like that's going to continue to be the pattern.
Right, right, right.
For a while now.
Right. But, it'll, you know, of course it is, but it isn't. I mean, a little bit.
Right, right. I mean, yes. As far as like for the audience, it's done, you know, as a joke.
Right.
But for the characters, I'm sure Angela probably really wanted to kiss him.
Still. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Who's the boss? Will be back in a moment. Stick around.
The tag of this episode is very cute, I think.
Yeah.
So now Angela and Tony are back home. Must be after the weekend. Oh, you know what? What do you think? Okay, who's going to write the fanfic about what happened the second night? Because I think they probably still stayed there again. And they had to share that room.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, but maybe they told everyone they weren't actually married and then just
slept on the couch.
He still slept on the couch, I'm sure. But yeah, maybe they could have had their little romantic, because they're getting along much better now here, obviously.
Right, right.
Okay, so they're back at the house. It's after the weekend, and On Broadway is playing again. And now this time Tony is showing Angela how to do whatever dance steps he does.
Showing her the moves.
Yes. But like, these are still not at all Betty's moves, but I guess he's just kind of like twirling her and they're dancing. Then he dips her right as the kids walk in. And now it looks a little suspicious because they're just dancing in the middle of the living room. So Angela looks up and says, oh, yes, you are right. This plaster in the ceiling is cracked.
Mm.
And Tony's like, all right, we'll get right on. I gotta fix that right away. And then the kids kind of follow their eyes, their stare up to the ceiling. And then that's the end of the episode. Yeah. So they're covering up that they're dancing.
That real good cover up.
Yeah. And that is the end of the episode.
All right. This episode had some promise, but I gave it a 6.
Oh, wow.
Why?
That's low.
Oh, okay.
You're fine. All right.
Well, yeah, I gave it a 6.
Yes, I mean, you finish.
Even knowing that they weren't going to really get, and I guess at the end you see them doing the dance and there's a cute moment, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was just all around silly, like in a sense where like he's just, you know, making out with this woman, and I don't know if he had an intention of anything happening between him and Angela. Like, that wouldn't happen in the first place.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just some parts just lost me in this episode.
There are a lot of cute moments in this episode. I feel like it had promise. But I think if you go into this episode like, ooh, they're spending the weekend together and they're going to be pretending to be married, it's just a big letdown, really.
Right. And Tony's just... And then there's this the whole... Well, you know, I mean, not that they were together or married, but the people thought they were.
So right.
It's that whole boys will be boys. Oh, look, they're making up like nothing ever happened. It's just stupid.
Yeah, I think I went 7.5, but I think just because of the Angela and Tony moments. Like, okay. It's definitely problematic.
You got to look past it, yeah.
But, well, I mean, it's just the idea that, like, it's showing what's going on here in their relationship. Like, I do think Angela's probably really excited to spend the weekend with him. Like, I feel like it moved the relationship forward, even though it took a huge step back with him being a complete doofus. Right.
And maybe I'm being a little... But
no, I get it. I go back and forth with it as well, because, like, it had a lot of potential, and it does have cute parts, but then most of it is enraging.
Mm-hmm. I'm raging.
Who is the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you.
I went with Angela as the boss.
Okay.
And the reason is, like, I'm not giving it to Mona, even though Mona's the one that said, like, you went there to see your best friend. But Angela got there and said, I'm here to watch my best friend play baseball. Then she went along with his, you know, plan. But then she told him, like, you've just humiliated me in front of everyone.
Right.
Why did you do that?
Right.
And, like, she stood up for herself and was kicking his ass out of the room. Then she kind of came around to the idea of, like, okay, well, we're not really married, and I came here to watch my best friend play baseball, and so that's what I'm going to do. Like, this weekend did not turn out the way I hoped it would be, but I'm going to still support him and watch him play baseball, because technically he didn't cheat on her. So... that's why I went with Angela, because she kind of stayed steady throughout the whole thing and stood up for herself.
All right. I agree.
All right.
I agree. Angela kept it on track. And, you know, and I mean, like, when she was legitimately mad, she had every reason to.
Yeah.
And Tony would still convince her to, like, calm down and let's still try to have our nice, you know, time together. And then she'd go along with it. And then Tony blew it again. I don't know. It's just... like, whatever, but she, but you're right. And, like, in the end, you know, like, she knew I need to still go see my best friend. Even, you know, she got the advice from Mona, but she took it.
Right.
And knew she needed to go see him play. And then she realized, obviously, Tony didn't sleep in Betty's place. Crashed on, I don't know, Burl, Stu. I don't know whose
Burl,
couch she slept
Burl
on.
Burl and Pam's
on.
Couch. Poor Pam. She
I know,
also
Pam
indirectly
didn't get
got,
anything.
No,
so she
although,
had a,
I mean, come on, Burl.
Yeah, I guess.
Nobody wanted any of that anyway.
All right, maybe not. Anyway, yeah, I agree. Angela.
Okay, so I feel like now we're going to ramp up a little bit on... we haven't had a lot of relationship episodes this season until this one. This one kind of dealt with it more. I feel like next week or next episode... is mostly a Sam and Tony, but also kind of elements of Angela are peppered in there.
Okay.
And then we're going to get their actual first date soon.
Wow.
I know. Don't get too excited about it.
All right.
But I really am enjoying this season. And I'm looking at... there's the episode after First Date, though, called Party Double with Frank Sinatra in it. I have actually don't think I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
So we'll both
I'm
be
excited
watching
about
that one for the first time
oh,
ever.
Okay, good. I'm excited about it.
All right, so, you can reach us, I should have done that first, at Who's the Boss Podcast on Instagram, or Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter, or on Facebook, our page is the Who's the Boss Podcast page, or go to anchor.fm/WTB podcast, and there you can leave us a voice message. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Nice.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a big thumbs up. And tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.